Our next case this morning is number 07-1751, Mildred McClin against SBC Ameritech. Ms. Lowry.
To please the court, I am Clara L. Larry. I represent the appellant Mildred Denise Macklin. This case was brought pursuant to Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 as amended and the Americans with Disabilities Act. The appellant, Mildred Denise Macklin, an African-American woman, alleges that the defendant, that the appellee, SBC Ameritech, which is now referred to as AT&T, denied her a reasonable accommodation in violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act. She also alleges that in her complaint, SBC Ameritech denied her comparable pay raises and individual discretionary awards on the basis of her disability, race, and gender. Cross motions for summary judgments were filed. The district court entered judgment in favor of the defendant. This appeal follows that decision. The issues before the court are, number one, whether Macklin is substantially limited in the major life activity of city, whether the demotion from her position as area manager to the position of complex bid manager was an adverse action, whether Macklin was denied comparable pay raises and discretionary award on the basis of disability, race, and gender, and whether the reasons offered by the employer for the challenged employment decisions are pretext for discrimination. On Macklin's ADA claim, the district court concluded that Macklin was not disabled within the meaning of the ADA as required for the first element of her prima facie case. As a threshold matter, that element requires Macklin to show that she has a disability which substantially limits one or more major life activities. Macklin suffered from certain back injuries and chronic pain, and her evidence is that when she is sitting for more than 2 hours, she suffers the chronic pain triggers her depression. The physical impairment is her chronic back pain, and the mental impairment is the depression. The issue is whether or not the depression and the chronic back pain substantially impairs a major life activity. Her testimony is that when she's sitting for more than 2 hours, the impairment creates chronic back pain. In support of her argument, she presented the evidence of her physician who testified that she should not sit for more than 2 hours because of the chronic pain. And
Ms. Larry, was there something in her job duties that would require her to sit for longer than 2 hours at a time?
There is nothing in her job duty that requires her to sit for more than 2 hours at a time. However, Macklin, the company has several offices throughout the state, and Macklin's position required her to pass one of the offices, which would be closer and would require less travel and less sitting time to reach one of the offices, which were some 2 hours away.
So it's her travel time to and from work that implicates the 2 hours.
It was her travel time to and from work. The individuals who were employed as complex bid managers were assigned to various locations throughout the state. They were located in St. Louis and Arlington Heights, and there was an office even in Chicago. So it was the fact that she had to travel past that office in Chicago for those 2 hours to get to that location in Arlington Heights. The second issue the Macklin raises is whether there are material facts, as to whether or not she was subjected to adverse action when she was demoted from her position as complex bid manager. In deciding the demotion claim, the court turned to the prima facie element, which is adverse action. When Macklin returned from her disability leave, she was demoted from area manager to complex bid manager. Moving from the position of area manager to complex bid manager resulted in a significant change in employment duties. The most important is that there were diminished material responsibilities. For example, as the area manager, Macklin supervised the complex bid managers. She managed the group. She did their timesheet. She conducted performance reviews. She responded to payroll issues, worked with the complex bid managers in training and in compliance with deadlines and procedures. And in the position of a complex bid manager, she simply did quotes. And as such, the diminished responsibilities resulted in constitute the adverse action. The cases that are cited by the appellant and the brief basically establishes that a change in an employment position that diminishes the responsibilities and constitute an adverse action. And specifically in the case of Henrietta versus Chicago Housing Authority, the court basically indicated that the employee's career prospects, if the employee's career prospects are impacted, then it can constitute an adverse action if it affects and diminishes the employee's future wealth. In this instance, Macklin's employee career prospects were impacted. The next issue is whether there were material issues of fact and whether Macklin was denied comparable pay raises on the basis of her disability, race, and gender. The Macklin held the position of area manager from the inception of the bid central up until her disability leave began in December 17, 2003. During the and subsequent to her disability leave on December 23rd, an employee, one of the complex bid managers to whom she supervised, Dave Gentilini, a white male, assumed the position of, during her absence, of area manager. When the performance reviews were conducted for 2003, Dave Gentilini received a pay increase of 4%, and he also received an individual discretionary award, although he had only had the position for 8 days, and which actually included holidays and weekends. Macklin, on the other hand, had performed the duties of area manager from October to her leave in December 17th. She had received from her former supervisor excellent ratings and had been given a lot of credit for the establishment of Bid Central. There was nothing in the employee's performance review for those 8 days which was justified. And there was nothing in Dave Gentilini's employee records which justifies that 4% pay increase and the individual discretionary award over the one, as compared to the 1.5% pay increase given to Macklin, and the failure of any individual discretionary award. The reasons offered by the employer for demoting Macklin from the position of area manager is number one, that the position of area manager never existed. According to the, despite the personnel records that shows a change in personnel change form giving her the title of area manager. The personnel change forms, which actually changes her title from area manager to complex bid manager. The employer contends that the title never existed. It was simply a vanity title. And the issue of vanity title only was raised in response to the motion for summary judgment. The employer also alleged that the reason she was demoted is because, number two, there were performance issues. But throughout her, nothing in her employment, performance appraisals, indicate any kind of performance issues. When she was advised that she would be removed, she was not told or the issue of performance as a as justification was not raised.
Thank you. We'll hear now from Mr. Kelly.
May it please the Court, I'm Kevin Kelly, and I represent the defendant, Ameritech. Judge Saini properly granted summary judgment to Ameritech in this case because the undisputed facts establish that Ms. Macklin cannot establish a prima facie case of race, sex, or disability discrimination. And as we've explained in our brief, she also can't establish pretext with respect to the issues she's raised. Now, there's three distinct occurrences that she's claiming are discriminatory in this case, and I'd like to address each one. First of all, there's her loss of her role as team lead of Bid Central. And here it's very important to be clear about the undisputed facts, because Macklin has conflated the loss of the team lead role with her vanity title of area manager. And it's undisputed, as the district court found, that this area manager title was indeed a vanity title.
It was included within personnel records of Ameritech, wasn't it?
It was, Your Honor. There were references.
And a specific change from area manager to complex bid manager.
Correct, Your Honor. And to be clear about the chain of events, because it is a little bit complicated, prior to the events of this case, Ms. Macklin actually was an area manager. She was in what was called the MT market zone. And in that market zone is essentially a pay grade. She held that position of area manager. But prior to the events of this case, she was demoted. That's not at issue in this case. And she was moved to the MU market zone and became what's called an implementation engineer. And that change occurred at the beginning of 2003. The events of this case are focused on the end of 2003 and into 2004. Now, in October of 2003, when Bid Central was created, that's the organization she worked for at the time of the relevant events, she was a complex bid manager, and she was assigned to work for Director Bruce Gregory. Now, it's important to note Gregory gave her the role of team lead of Bid Central, but in assuming this position as team lead, she wasn't promoted back to the MT market zone. She didn't receive any kind of pay increase. She remained in the pay grade of MU for complex bid managers. Now, during the time that she held this role of team lead, she did use this area manager vanity title. But again, it had no substantive effect on her job duties or her pay.
And Ameritech used it too, didn't it?
There were references to it, correct, Your Honor.
Even when Gentilini takes over those duties, isn't he referred to in an email as area manager?
Interim area manager, correct, Your Honor. Again, though, it's our position that the title doesn't describe the function here. The function was really team lead of Bid Central. And the area manager title, particularly when that title was removed from Ms. Macklin, it had no effect whatsoever on her pay or her job responsibilities. That's distinct from the team lead role, which was taken from her when she went on her five-month leave of absence. When that role was removed from her, there was a change in her job duties, but it's not a material change, and I'll describe why that is. She vacated the position of team lead. Bruce Gregory had to find a substitute during her absence, and he assigned her coworker Dave Gentilini to that position. Now, during this time, Gregory also decided that he would change the role of team lead. he took for himself, Gregory that is, the supervisory functions that had been previously performed by the team lead. And that left the team lead essentially to perform one function aside from the normal complex bid manager job, and that was to be a conduit for questions from other bid managers before they were escalated to the director, Bruce Gregory. Other than that, at the time that Macklin came back to work in April and May of 2004, the role of team lead was indistinguishable from any other complex bid manager, but for that one function. So it's our position that when Macklin was able to return to work, when she could have resumed that position, the function had changed dramatically. It was substantially diminished. And the fact that she was denied restoration to the team lead role was not an adverse employment action because that role was not materially different from any other complex bid manager. It's also important to note with respect to this team lead role that there's no evidence, there's nothing challenging the veracity of Bruce Gregory's reasons for preferring Dave Gentilini to Macklin in terms of permanently assigning Gentilini to this role. Now, initially, Gentilini was assigned to the role on an interim basis, but during the 5 months that Macklin was on a leave, Gregory realized that Gentilini had done a very good job as team lead, and he also discovered that there were some things that Macklin had failed to do when she was in the role.
What were those things?
Well, Your Honor, Mr. Gregory's affidavit lists what he calls certain tasks. There is a document attached to his affidavit where he memorializes the fact that she had failed to save. One of the things she had done was, on multiple occasions, failed to save jobs to the server. That's something that's required of all the bid managers. And it was something that in her not doing so was obviously a poor example for the rest of the group.
So that's with Gregory's affidavit?
That's in Gregory's affidavit, correct, Your Honor. Now, with respect to Gregory's decision to keep Gentilini in the role, he also, by the time that this decision was made, Gentilini had held the position longer than Macklin did. She was in the role from October until about mid-December of 2003, Gentilini took over in December of 2003 and held the position all the way through April of 2004. So for these reasons, Gregory felt that Gentilini was the better fit for the role, and he kept him in that role. It's also important to note that Macklin really had no right to necessarily be reinstated to this position. She vacated the job when she went out on her leave of absence, and there's no legal right that she had to be reinstated to this position at all. I'd also like to talk about this pay claim that Ms. Macklin raises. First of all, this was not something that she raised in her complaint or even in her summary judgment papers in the district court, and the district court correctly recognized this. Now, with respect to the difference in the percentages between her pay raise and Dave Gentilini's raise, it's important to note Macklin was already the highest paid bid manager. She earned about $76,000 a year. Gentilini earned $63,000 per year. He was lower on the pay scale. And per the company's pay guidelines, it's appropriate and expected that people who are lower on the pay scale will receive a higher percentage pay raise. The pay scale only went to about $80,000, so Macklin was already practically maxed out in terms of the pay scale. The other issue here is that Gregory considered performance in awarding pay raises. And it's undisputed that he considered Gentilini's performance to be superior to that of Macklin's. The individual discretionary adjustment, that's the third issue. First of all, this was a discretionary bonus. And per this court's precedent, for example, as stated in the Farrell case, the denial of a discretionary bonus is not an adverse employment action. But here, too, regardless of the adverse employment action issue, there's no evidence of pretext. Gregory awarded IDAs, as they're called, to three individuals, Gentilini and one of his female coworkers and an African-American coworker. And he did so based on their exemplary performance. And Ms. Macklin hasn't introduced any evidence to contradict that basis for Gregory's decision. Now, he didn't make the decision to award Gentilini an IDA simply based on his performance as team lead at the end of 2003. There's no evidence of that. The IDA was awarded based on Gentilini's overall performance in 2003 as a complex bid manager, both as a bid manager and as the team lead. And finally, in the time I have remaining, I'd like to address the ADA issue, whether or not Ms. Macklin can state a prima facie case under the ADA, in other words, whether or not she has a disability. Her claim is that she's substantially limited in the major life activity of sitting because she can't sit for more than 2 hours. But as this court has found in the Williams case, for instance, when a plaintiff is seeking to establish a disability based on the duration within which she can perform an activity, she has to show that she can only perform that activity for a very brief period. This court in the Williams case found that a 30-minute restriction on standing was insufficient to state a disability. And in the Dupree case, the Fifth Circuit, in a case directly on point, found that a one-hour restriction on sitting, which is half of what's alleged in this case, was insufficient to constitute a disability. So for these reasons, we ask that the district court's decision to grant summary judgment to Ameritech be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. And I believe, Ms. Lowry, you had used all of your time, so the case will be taken under advisement with our thanks to both Ms. Lowry and to Mr. Kelly.